When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I'm going to be here with Brad Sturdy. We are going to talk about the blockbuster announcement today about Terrence Shannon Jr. It was really quite the announcement. Talked a lot about the importance of due process for everybody on a college campus, not just for the students. Also, guilty until proven innocent was a big deal. But this is really good news for Illini basketball and Terrence Shannon as an individual. We'll be right back with Brad to break it apart.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
And as promised, this is Mike Kegley here with Brad Sturdy. A big day for Illinois athletics. The Illini, who have a very good basketball team without Terrence Shannon Jr., have him returning. And now we have a team that could threaten for a national title that is intact. Now, there's a lot of things going on that are outside of basketball, bigger than basketball. And so that's why Brad Sturdy is here. One of the great things about covering a team for 20 years is the connections that you make throughout a university and throughout Central Illinois, which allows Brad to be on top of this story. And he's kind of like a one-man full-court press. So, Brad.
I'm definitely not a one-man fast break.
Yes,
I know that.
No, you are not.
Not
we aren't even a two-person slow break.
No, I don't even believe in breaking.
Yes.
Way over it.
Well, let's give fans an idea of what happened today, and give kind of an outline of what happened and maybe what didn't happen today.
Well, just to, you know, first thing, this has nothing to do with the actual legal case in Kansas. This is separate. This is Terrence Shannon against the University of Illinois. And there were many items that he brought up, but the biggest thing, the one thing the judge found that was an issue was the procedural due process and or lack thereof in the DIA policy regarding Terrence Shannon and his suspension from the Illinois basketball team. What they found was that, they did not afford him enough or necessary due process. And she recommended that at least they would use the student discipline policy, the OSCR policy, as it is called, the OSCR, it's the Office of Student Conflict Resolution, which is essentially a legal process and that they would have to go through. Now, if they go through this process, then, you know, they could, but it does take months. And by the time that a couple months, that happens, probably the season's over anyway, or you're in the Final Four, and you certainly do not want to suspend your star player before the Final Four, if that would happen. So while all this is going on here, she basically said that, you know, and it would take a court order, you know, to another order to change this. So the university could appeal to the Court of Appeals, but again, this is a long drawn out process. This is not something that takes a while. Now, this is she could have issued a temporary restraining order and then had a hearing on the injunction, which would have allowed him to play maybe for 2 weeks and then have the injunction hearing. But she chose to go ahead and give the injunction, so there won't be another hearing, and he's immediately playing. And as we know, he's practicing with the team already. And this is a huge thing for not only the basketball team, but it's a really big, this is a big issue. This, and it isn't just Illinois, because she really attacked procedural due process in this case and the DIA policy. And this policy is very similar to what many universities have. So that means that this is a case that can set policy, well, may change policy for all universities. And it's a step towards athletes becoming employees, college athletes being employees and having employment contracts. If they had employment contracts, it would completely change the way that these things are interpreted. But right now, I mean, there's not any teeth to a DIA policy that for a suspension of any athlete without a procedural or due process.
And am I barking up the wrong tree? But basically what she's saying, just because they're an athlete, they need to be treated like all other students, correct?
Yeah, they need to have the same rights that a normal student would have. And I think it's interesting, you know, it's interesting the way she worded it, because she did it was very narrow in the scope. It didn't expand to Title IX. It didn't expand to other areas. It just narrowed in scope that it's about procedural due process and giving him that process to go through this, where it's, you know, have witnesses and present evidence and have, you know, things, all these things that have this to meet your accuser, which, you know, is a big deal as well. So these are all things that are part of this process, and it will be very interesting to see what University of Illinois released a statement saying that he was fully back with the team. They had the order. They would be looking at the orders and following the court case in Kansas as well as they're going through this. And I think it would be, you know, and I'm not trying to be mean here, if the university like went hard at trying to overturn this in an expedited fashion, it would be like university suicide for these people. From an athletic standpoint. I mean, it would be like, what are we doing? Just go be University of Chicago then, because it just wouldn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, there's a lot of people that view this badly. Now, the problem is that University of Illinois didn't make this decision. A judge, a justice who is on the in a federal court nominated by President Biden. So she hasn't been there very long, but she made this ruling. So the University of Illinois has no choice but to follow this ruling, or else then they would be in some trouble from a legal standpoint. So this isn't a University of Illinois decision. And so a lot of people are going to, you know, be mad at the University of Illinois, but they can't change this. And so this is another situation where this is probably the best case scenario if you wanted Terrence Shannon back on the court. It's also the best case scenario if you want the university to not have to put him back on the court.
Right. So now let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Kansas. Of course, we have a little bit of an idea of Terrence Shannon's side of the argument. We don't obviously know all of the evidence that the DA has. There are many people in the legal profession who take a look at the situation as it is now, and they say that this is a very, very weak case. You know, I've read legal opinions, and again, these are just people who are lawyers who have opinions, so I'm not saying you can go to court behind this, but there are people saying that, you know, this never would have been filed in many other jurisdictions. But the key thing is part of the leverage play that the DA was using to try to get Terrence Shannon Jr. to settle quickly was, you know, if we can solve this case, get it resolved, you can then move forward with your attempt to get into the NBA. And that was the leverage that was being applied to him, which in his defense, he has said, I am not going to plead to something that I didn't do. So how does that equation change for what's going on in Lawrence, Kansas, now that he can play through really, you know, through the end of the season from the most apparent as it looks now.
Yeah. First thing I'll say, Mike, is that what you have figured out, if you wanted to be a lawyer, you likely wanted to read a lot, because I've read like 400 pages of legal documents and briefs and things that have been written over the past 3 weeks. That's more than I've read in my life in legal documents. You know, usually if a book had 400 pages, I said, well, are there clips?
Is there
notes?
A movie? Is there a movie?
Is there a movie we can watch? You know, I've read a lot of this, but I do think it takes away some of her leverage. It doesn't necessarily mean that she's going to drop the case or charges, because we don't know what evidence she might have. There could be smoking gun. There could be other evidence that is going to be put out there. Now, here's the interesting part about this is that currently, based on the evidence we have seen, there isn't probably enough evidence there to get a conviction in any case. You know, it's basically one person's word with no witnesses. Now, are there other things? The other part about this that we know, Terrence Shannon's legal team has requested the DNA test, looking for touch DNA from her examiner and all the other stuff that came from the lab results. Now, they've put a subpoena in for that. I think it actually went out on the 15th. Probably they have 2 weeks, so 29th they probably get that of January, maybe the 30th, something like that of January. They will get that information. For their case, you would think they wouldn't ask for that information unless they were sure that it would not implicate their client, right? So we know that as well. So, but those are the only things what we've read. I mean, we know Terrence Shannon says he didn't do it, and we know that the victim says that she did, that he did, and she identified him. But that's about all we know in a legal case. And again, I think that if that's all the information, they looked at cameras, they can't see anything on cameras, no witnesses, and the police reports. We've read the police reports and the charging documents, of course, on multiple occasions. And that's where we're at in that case. And so I do think she's lost some leverage. She has taken, it's interesting. And I read this and I can't verify it because I didn't research it myself, but I read that she has taken 7 rape cases to trial and is 0-7. In those cases, this Suzanne Valdez, and we know she's under all kinds of scrutiny.
So essentially, she is the Juwan Howard, because he's 0-7 against Brad Underwood. So she's the Juwan Howard
of rape cases. Yeah.
Wow. Sad, I try to put everything into perspective for people.
Yeah, it's just so you're saying this. Yeah, it's not good. Unsuccessful. Yes. Sure. Yeah. And I don't want to, again, this is a serious charge, a serious accusation, serious situation. You know, we're talking about a young lady who was, if this happened, she was violated. And also a young man who, if he didn't do it, has been kind of put through the ringer for something he didn't do. So I think it's a very serious situation, but yeah, 0-7, Juwan Howard of district attorneys. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's one way to look at it.
It looks like that was just something that came to me here. So a couple things then that we have heard questions, you know, from fans is, how has Terrence Shannon Jr. been training? Because he's not allowed to train with the team, though he, as we understand it, is able to utilize the team's facilities.
Yeah, he's been using the facilities, and so through this process, right, through this 3 weeks or whatever, he's been using the facilities. I've heard he comes in the morning before everybody else gets there because there's nobody there. He can't use it with the team, but he can lift, and he can go in and do his lifting program and different things. He gets the chance to get a lot of shots up. I'm sure he's running and things. He's an extremely fit physical athlete. You know, taking a couple weeks off for him while healthy and still running, not going to make a huge impact in his basketball game. It's not like us, you know, it's not like us.
Thank God.
I mean, he's a different Terrence. Animal, right? I mean, so I think he's going to jump back in. Now, do I expect, you know, he's playing 37, 38 minutes in a game. Do I expect him to play that many? Maybe not the first time out. I mean, you might bring him off the bench and let him kind of ease his way back in, because it's not like this team isn't clicking on all cylinders offensively right now. I mean, they're just, they're on a roll offensively. I mean, just doing a fantastic job. And where he really probably would help them is on the defensive end, which we'll talk about, I'm sure.
Well, that was that's the first thing. And let's talk about that, because somehow an Illinois team loses an All-American who's averaging 21 points a game, and they managed to average 88 points a game without him. Now, if I've never seen an Illinois offense that could do that. And even if you go back to the Flying Illini had to play a few games without Kendall Gill, maybe that's the one time, but
they struggled.
Yeah.
When they first lost him. I mean, they were like 52 points they scored at Wisconsin, I think,
yeah,
it was, and got drilled. I mean, so to do what they've done offensively is really kind of amazing. I mean, like, and you know, against Michigan the other night, they scored 88 points, 1.352 points per possession. They've consistently moved up in the offensive rankings. They're at number 7 in the country. Here's the wild part. They're at number 7 in the country from an offensive efficiency standpoint over the course of the season. They're number 3 in the country during the time, the 6 games they didn't have Terrence Shannon.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. When Terrence Shannon was playing over that period, they were a top 25 defense. With him out, they were a number 92 defense in the country. That's a big difference. He makes a big difference on the defensive end with his ability to guard multiple positions, the versatility to guard smaller guards and use his quickness, and also his explosiveness and athleticism with blocking shots, rebounding, all those things. And I think the other part about that, where he changes the game, is his ability to change ends in transition doesn't allow teams. Yeah. And I think he's even more explosive because he's an even better finisher.
Yeah. Oh, he's a better finisher. Yeah.
But here's the wild part. It makes teams get back on defense. They can't attack the glass quite as hard because they're worried about him in transition. And Illinois struggled with defensive rebounding, has been one of their issues. They gave up 42 offensive rebounds over 3 game period heading into the Michigan game, where they were better against Michigan. Only gave up, what was it? I think 10 or 8 or 9 or 10 or something like that. But regardless, that's 50 in 4 games, which is not what you want to do. That's where he can really change things. Even if he doesn't get a bunch of rebounds, he makes them play differently because they know that he's changing ends if they don't get the rebound.
Yep. Yep. And if you don't change ends with him, we know what happens.
He's finishing, and usually it's an and one or a dunk on the other end. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And many times both. Yeah. You know, as we take a look at this, rightly or wrongly, he is going to take a lot of crap from opposing teams. As a coach, how do you prepare him? Although he is 23 years old and he's a very mature player, how do you prepare him? But moreover, how do you make sure your team doesn't get too caught up in that out there on the courts?
Yeah, I think he's expecting it. I don't think that his teammates probably understand what the level of vitriol they're going to receive when they go on the road. And, you know, it would not shock me to see protest groups as they're coming up against their buses, outside their hotels, when they're on the road, all those types of things. I could see all of that happening against these guys, and which is kind of sad because, multiple players and coaches, they didn't have anything to do with this regard. And maybe Terrence Shannon didn't either. I don't know, but regardless. But I think he's expecting it. I think he's going to use it as kind of, you know, I'm going to just go play, right? How's it going to affect the other guys? You know, the additional vitriol, they haven't been bad on the road. Let's be honest. I mean, they played Tennessee tough, had a chance to win that game. They, you know, have already won at Rutgers. They've already won, you know, at, Michigan. So they've won some road games. They played in some tough environments. They played Bragging Rights game, which obviously is always a hostile for both ways environment. So these guys have been through it, but this, it's be a little bit different. I think it'll be more personal in nature when they come after them. So how do they respond? The other thing is, how does he fit on the court? Because like we've said, we've got a dynamic offense playing a lot of booty ball. Marcus Damask backing guys down. Damask has been putting up amazing numbers. He's over 20 points a game. You know, over the last 5 games, he's dishing out 5 assists, grabbing 5 rebounds. I mean, dare I say, it's almost Io DeSumo-like stats from Damascus over the past five games. That's pretty impressive. Now, how does he slide into a different role? Can Shannon be less of the dominant guy and be just at the beginning, just step right into a role position where he's like the secondary option a lot of times on offense? I think it can all, but that's up to Brad Underwood to figure out how it all fits together. And I think he'll do a pretty good job with that.
Yeah. And I think as a team, there's also an opportunity for them to really coalesce together and let, you know, and, you know, we will see. There's always speculation on how, 18 to 22 year old kids respond to something. And that can be a little bit of a challenge. So as we go, this is kind of what we have right now. Brad, are there any other comments, thoughts that we need to throw out there for Illini fans?
Well, I mean, I think we look at, addition to, we've got the Terrence Shannon's football gets two commitments today, two huge commitments, especially in the portal. They get the Briggs kid from Florida State, who's going to be a plug and play defensive lineman. They really needed that.
Horribly. I mean, that was on a scale of 1 to 10, that was probably an 11 for the need
yes.
for the team.
And it really changes the getting guys like that and adding these, versatile players helps. They get Michael McDonough, who is, not that guy, but the other guy. He's
yeah,
a football
I'm gonna
player.
Be there.
Yeah. So he's going to be in 2025, another offensive lineman. I think they're in a good place with other guys too in 2025. So they're in it was a good day on Friday for the Illinois athletic programs. I mean, huge day for them moving forward. Now they just have to go out and actually take care of business on the floor. I'm going to tell you right now, this Illinois team, if they play the way they were playing against Missouri and in that little stretch, that Missouri game, you saw a team that could make, and Dennis Gates from Missouri said this, that's a Final Four team. With Terrence Shannon, they are a Final Four level team. I really believe that. I think that this game is different. You look at the two games they lost to Maryland and at Purdue. Terrence Shannon is the type of guy who could have made a difference in those games to get them those wins. And they really started to click. They put it together. People have bought into their roles. They're understanding what they can and can't do and figuring it out. And this team's got a chance to be really, really good and contend for a Big Ten title and potentially make an NCAA run, which – I think it would be just so much fun and so exciting for this group.
And it's the last feather that's really needed for Brad Underwood to put in his cap. He's got the best record in the Big Ten over the last 4 years, has won a Big Ten tourney title, has won a Big Ten regular season title, has really
and
done.
And let's be honest, he's really won two Big Ten regular season
right,
titles.
Right, right, yeah.
Michigan didn't play all their games, should have had to forfeit. But anyway.
Right, right.
COVID, John.
Yeah, exactly. But we're back to Juwan 0-for-7. The other thing I think that we want to tell people is we have a lot of stuff coming at IlliniGuys.com on this situation. So don't hesitate to take a look over there. If you've been thinking about, should I try subscribing? This is the week to do it because you get 6 days to kick the tires. And then you have the opportunity, you could stick on for a year, $99. It's the best value. What we are going to do is we have some very high level interviews that we will be announcing and putting out for people to see.
Exclusive interviews.
Yes, exclusive.
No one else is, you're not going to find them anywhere else.
Yeah, nowhere. And the other thing is on Monday night, these are hugely popular. We have to go and negotiate with the people at Zoom, but we're going to have a subscriber only Zoom call Monday night, and we can talk about an awful lot of things. It is highly, highly, highly recommended. If you are going to subscribe, you want to kick the tires and see what it's like. And I will tell you, as crazy as this time gets, it gets even better when it gets into portal combat at the end of the spring. So there's a lot of things that are coming. You really want to, if you've been on the fence, go ahead and get it right now, because it is the time to try it. So with that, this is Mike Kegley. Thank you so much, Brad Sturdy. And we will be right back to wrap up the show.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Thank you so much for listening to this show. We really appreciate you choosing to tune us in. We are going to have a ton of stuff at IlliniGuys.com that will be in regards to the Terrence Shannon Jr. case. We also have some exclusive interviews that you'll be seeing. And of course, as was mentioned, the subscriber-only Zoom event on Monday night. This is a great time. You get 6 days to trial it. You get billed on the seventh day. The annual subscription is only $99 a year. It's what it was when we started 3 years ago. It's still there. This is the perfect time, and it will prepare you for what happens in the portal and recruiting in the off season, plus everything that's going on during the season, as if there's not enough. But if you're an Illini fan, this is where you want to be, and we'd love to have you here with us in this community. So with that, this is Mike Kegley saying, go Illini!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.